Blog Talk Radio.
You know what, Eric? One day we're going to have to drop some bars over this intro, man.
Hey, you know I got a 16 already, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to sit it right now.
All right, yeah, we didn't ask for it. What's up, people? It's another edition of the Last Second Shot Podcast. This is a live recording, man. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening via iTunes, we thank you for that, too. That's right. We're on iTunes. I'm excited about it.
Hey, you ain't the only one, dog. You ain't the only one, fam.
Oh, man. It's been an exciting a week since we all talked to you all, man. Now, real quick, we're going to start off the show. We've had a couple last-second shots since the last time we talked to you. Let's get into that.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to head over to Dearborn Heights first. You know, Caleb Brown hit a game-winning shot. What was it last night, right?
Last night against Edsel Ford.
Oh, yeah. Can you drop a bomb for Caleb Brown, please?
We dropping bombs. Oh, my sister.
Oh, yeah. And another game-winning shot that happened, you know, was Amanda Sape from Bloomfield Hills in their win. Had to do that one time for Amanda. She had 26 points, 16 rebounds, 2 blocks. Just an absolute beast. And to top it all off, she hit the game-winning shot, last-second shot, you know?
Talk about putting the team on your back, man. That's a hefty stat line to carry your team. And then to go ahead and win it for them, hey, salute to Amanda Sape. Also, I mean, not a last-second shot, but in other big news or big games, Kiera Fletcher of Warren Cousino goes to the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Palace, the home of the Pistons, and she drops 40 points against Rochester Adams. And I think Cousino ends up winning by 3, 61-58. Man, salute to Kiera, putting the team on her back as well. She gets a bomb.
Man, that was a beast of a performance. I mean, to come back from 15 down, you know, in the first half and pull out a 3-point win, you know, like you said, carrying the team, putting that team on her back, man. Kiera is just an absolute animal out there, yo. So we're not surprised.
Man, I feel sorry for the young ladies who have to check her. And, all right, well, you know, that takes care of some big last-second shots or big performances, man. We're going to get into it. We got a good show for y'all, man. Now, we announced earlier on Twitter, we haven't really spoken about it on any of our past podcasts, but we are going to be broadcasting live for, what is it, 4 or 5 days?
Is it 5 days? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be broadcasting live all 5 days of the Motor City Roundball Classic. So that's real big. I'm excited about that. Bringing that type of experience to our listeners who might not be able to be at every game. And then, I mean, we're gonna have so many guests. We're gonna have so many fun segments that we're gonna do, live post game interviews with the MVPs and all of that. So, I mean, we're gonna talk more about that in the show. We're gonna have the organizer of the event on in a few minutes, in about 10 minutes. But right now, man, this weekend, at Martin Luther King High School, the Best of Michigan Classic Showcase. Man, we saw some games, and I mean, I just want to come out and say it right now. Bay City John Glenn is for real, guys. Bay City John Glenn is for real. I'm going to say it again. Bay City John Glenn is for real. They came down here to play Renaissance. And I just want to say this, and I'm going to get it out of the way before, you know, people chatter. Yes, when I gave my top 10 teams of Michigan, I believe I did omit Bay City John Glenn. I didn't put them in there. Did you? I thought you had them at 8 or something.
Nah, I think I omitted them. My memory may be fuzzy right now. You know, I got a cold and everything.
I mean, either way, 8 is too low.
Too low right now.
Listen, Bay City John Glenn came down to the Martin Luther King High School on Lafayette, okay, home of the Crusaders, and they put on a show. They were going against one of the best players in the nation, one of the best players in this state, the best player in the city of Detroit. And guess what they did? They contained her as well as I've seen anybody contain her, in Sia Frazier. They did just as good as a job that you could do against her. I mean, she got off in the fourth quarter, but listen, for three quarters, they played with purpose. I mean, really, you know, four quarters, but, you know, they played with a serious purpose before Renaissance made a run. And it looked special.
It did look special. I mean, you know, I'm going to go on record and say this right now. From what I've seen so far, they're the best team in the state right now. I mean, you know, they're a big girl who everybody knows, 6'4", you know, Cassie Boone. You know, she was a beast, 18.7 blocks, man, 7 blocks, swatting that thing. You know, and Callie Martinez impressed, as always, you know, 22 points, some light. Well, that's kind of light, wasn't it, there? That was kind of light.
It was light. It was light. Listen, Martinez is just she's so crafty with her dribble. Not flashy, but crafty. It's the difference here. I mean, she'll get in the lane. She'll give you a hesitation. It'll make you ooh. But it's not quite the ah. No, she's not gonna, you know, cross you over, bring it back up top, have the PA person yell, clear it out. She's not gonna get on the N1 mixtape or anything like that, okay? But she dribbles with a purpose, and she keeps her defenders off balance. And you saw on Saturday, Renaissance, who isn't a pushover of a team. Many people have picked Renaissance to win the city. Many people have picked Renaissance to win the city. Man, Bay City John Glenn came in and they played, you know, they played their game. And let's just talk about it. Like I talked about Kelly Martinez's handling, and we talked about their post players' presence and getting to the rim. But let's just talk about it. They're not a team that's gonna miss a lot of shots.
Oh no, not at all, man. They shoot the blood out that thing, man. I swear, it was almost like looking at, you know, some of our younger listeners probably don't know about this, but NBA Jam. Remember NBA Jam, man? The Knicks was on fire, man. That's how it looked.
Oh, my God. Not everybody, but just about everybody who comes in the game is shooting it, and shooting it at a high level. That's the thing. You know, we see a lot of teams, you know, especially with the emergence of Steph, we see a lot of younger players who wants to shoot, you know, the 30-foot shot and, you know, celebrate down court before it even falls. But, hey, listen, No, every like just about everybody on Bay City, John Glenn is pulling it. And on Saturday, it was falling. They were up by as many as 38 points on Saturday. It just that was something else, man. Like, and listen. Before in our first two episodes, I said Grand Rapids Catholic Central Country Day will have something to say about Grand Rapids Catholic Central winning it all. Listen, it's a three way thing here. It's a three-way thing here in Class B so far. It's and ironically enough, maybe three of the top five teams in the state right now are Class B. Bay City John Glenn, Detroit Country Day, and Grand Rapids Catholic Central in no particular order. You know, that's going to be a dogfight. That's gonna be a bare knuckle brawl, like when Rocky and Rocky Five had to go fight Tommy. It's gonna be that type of fight.
Oh yeah, man. It, you know, neither of those teams that you named are any type of pushover, and it's gonna be a dogfight, man. It's gonna be a dogfight in Class B. Class B is looking really interesting right now. Really interesting. Very interesting, actually.
Yeah, I don't think people realize what's going on here. Because, you know, when you think about all the big names over the years, you think about, you know, all of that. It's just you talk about the Lathrops, you talk about the Martin Luther Kings, you talk about the DeWitts or the East Lansings. Those, the Class A is predominantly who people talk about and point to when you talk about the best teams in the state. And then people, you know, look at the Class B and C teams and they're like, oh yeah, they're really good to be a Class B or a Class C team. No. These Class B teams are playing like they are a Class A team. They are playing like, you know, hey, We're better than you no matter what class you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And, you know, I mean, we might get into this a little bit later, but, you know, they can compete in any class, and you put it as an NCAA seeding or whatever, you know,
whoa. Too deep for the intro. Too deep for the intro. Whoa, Aaron.
I can't go in yet?
Too deep for the intro, man. You know, we got Lindsay coming on. That's a loaded topic.
I'm going to hold off, but
essentially, I agree with you. I agree with where you were going, but we might need a whole show for that. We might even need, but if I just had to go on the topic of things that the MHSAA does wrong, then we would be here forever. So you know that's we're gonna take that and leave it there, but as I said, we're gonna have the organizer of the Motor City Roundball Classic on pretty soon. Real quick, this is the Last Second Shot podcast. It's myself, Darren Clore, and my good friend Eric Thomas. Hit us up on Twitter at Sports Spoken Real, and hit my friend Eric Thomas up. Your Twitter?
My Twitter is at @quiet_storm30, people. Yes, I had to read it off because I don't really remember my Twitter name like that. I never had to use it this much. But follow me, at me, hit me up. You know, we're not Hollywood people.
I mean, not yet, at least.
You said it, I didn't.
Hey, man, just letting y'all know. But yeah, so... I mean, we're seeing something that is special this year. I mean, last year, preseason, I said it, even though Country Day was young, they were probably going to run away with Class B. That was my preseason prediction last year. Now we're in a different season. You know, many people said, hey, it's Class B. That's Country Days again. You might be right, but it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be a cakewalk. If you would have just watched, if you just would have watched how Bay City John Glenn just had this, we're not going to back down from you type of mentality. They played disciplined ball. They played very disciplined ball, but on top of that, the game just looked fun for everybody. When they were on defense, they looked committed to it, and it looked very, very fun for everybody. You don't see that in a lot of teams. You see a lot of players, you know, they get frustrated when things don't go right or they mess up a play. Hey, they came out. I mean, and of course it's fun to win. It's fun to win by 30 plus. That's fun. But I mean, even before they got off to that start, is hey, let's just go out here. You know what I'm saying? We're going to move the ball. We're going to shoot it. It's all looking fun and easy.
Oh, yeah. It looks real easy. It looks real easy. But hey, before we go, you know, too long on basically John Glenn, people might get mad at us, you know, because there were other games, you know, before we get Mr. Eric Lindsay, the organizer of the Motor City Round Ball Classic on. Let's talk about some of the other games that we saw on Saturday, man. You know what games caught your eye?
Well, how about Friday night? Port Huron Northern comes down and you know they had a pretty lopsided game. You know, and I didn't actually stay for that whole game. It got kind of late, but what I do know is that they're a good team. Listen, their coach ran some sets that honestly I wish I could have just recorded them and you know charted everything because they played some disciplined ball. They shot the ball. When I tell you they shot the ball at such a high rate that like towards the second quarter, anything they were throwing up, I just expected to go in. So that they end up getting a really good win against a Depsa team.
Okay. I wasn't in the building Friday. I came Saturday, you know. And, one of the games that caught my eye a little bit was Country Day, as you know, we talked about them, you know, a couple minutes ago. Country Day against the mighty Toledo Rogers. You know, that was a pretty decent game. You know, Country Day handled their business. You know, plain and simple. You know, they played the 2-3 zone well and controlled the boards. And anytime you control the boards, you're gonna be in a lot of games, if not win a lot of games. And Kayla Webb was superb, 24 points. Destiny Pitts, you know, hey, that's all I need to say is Destiny Pitts. You know, was 16 points herself. So, you know, they played really solid, played together.
And how about those two last-second shots, one going into halftime and one going into the fourth? Kayla Webb drives, you know, gets it off of, gets the ball. A few seconds left from half court, pulls it, and it goes in. And actually, that was a momentum taker. Because Rogers had just seemed like they had found a groove going into halftime. You know, they weren't quite, you know, the Rogers, you know, that a lot of people expected. They were really crippled by not getting into the lane and you know, using their size. But listen, they had found a little rhythm before halftime, and Kayla Webb just killed that whole momentum. That Rogers had with that last second shot, half court buzzer beater.
Yeah, it did. It did. It did kill the momentum. You know, it gave Country. It switched the the momentum from Rodgers to Country Day with that shot to carry him into the second half. And I think at the end of the third quarter, Destiny Pitts pulled from about 25, 27 feet, you know, on a standstill shot, you know, that really felt like a dagger. And, you know, and that's how the game was going for Country Day. They shot it well from the outside, and there was nothing Rodgers could really do. You know, you went into, you know, a team with some high hands, man.
That's always scary is when you run into that team that just seems like they can't miss. Like we were just saying with Bay City John Glenn, Country Day is also that team. Like, if they start hitting jump shots, then, hey, that might be all she wrote. Like, unless you're going to stand there and shoot with them, you know, how would you combat?
Yeah, and another game, an overtime game, man. NRB here on the Midland Dial. That was a heck of a game, man. What did you say, though?
Yes. It was a very good game. Midland Dial battled back from down 15 in the fourth. I mean, they were down 15 with, like, what was it, three minutes left?
Yeah, about 3 minutes.
Came all the way back. How about Maisie Taylor? She made some crucial shots going down the stretch. That's the younger sister of Ellie Taylor, who we talked about in some recent episodes. But Maisie, she made some big plays coming down the stretch, and really ushered Midland Dial back into the game. I mean, you know, Kaylee Wasco, she was Kaylee Wasco, you know, hitting post moves, scoring, getting into the lane, altering shots, you know, and Ann Arbor Huron, you know, they were good as well. You know, they gave up a lead, but when it came down to it, you know, they hit their free throw shots and their open shots, and they were able to pull that one out.
Yeah, I mean, they played, you know, excellent defense in the overtime, you know, and it seemed like they gobbled up every rebound, you know, possible. And, you know, they hit a few free throws down the stretch to seal the win up. And, you know, those things are common in close games, defense, rebounds, and free throws. And that will always win you a game, especially a close game.
Definitely. Midland Dial, they've taken a few two losses now that they've taken, but it's been great games. Those are team building games. Like, I mean, they really could have given up in the middle of the third quarter, or even at the beginning of the fourth. I mean, you're down 15 with less than four left, minutes left. You're down double digits, and I mean that just in itself. You know, moral victories don't go in the win column. We know that much. You know, Huron did enough to win the game, but going forward, I mean, if I'm coaching that team, I'm just telling them, like, hey, look, guys, you know, that's Ann Arbor Huron is on some people's board like a top 10 team.
Yeah,
they're a top 10 team rated by some people, so. You know, nothing to be ashamed of on Midland Dial's part.
Nothing at all. And, you know, Maisie, like you said, was big on the stretch for a freshman to step up and, you know, lead a furious charge back into, you know, back from a double-digit deficit. You know, it was really impressive. And, you know, Kaylee Wasco got going down the stretch. I mean, that girl. You know, as we said before, that girl is just money in the post. I mean, show the left hand and the right hand, jump hook, layups. You know, it's just a beast when you get on those blocks and, you know, help with that comeback, you know, and, you know, really made Huron adjust their defense to what she was doing. You know, she dictated the tempo for a minute there.
Definitely. And what we have to look at also is, what we have to look at in this game is that Midland Dial, even though they have some veterans on their team, they are still a young team. I mean, I don't think there is a senior in that starting lineup.
No,
is there?
Nope.
No. And so, I mean, they're fairly still a young team. So, I mean, you know, it's a learning curve there. I mean, obviously you have two surefire Division I players, and Ellie Taylor, the St. Louis committed, and Kaylee Wasco, who has a handful of offers. So, you know, the expectations are going to be high. But, I mean, listen, going forward, this can only be a building block.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, for a young team to fight like that and scrap like that, you know, get that experience, you know, it's always good. You know, it's always good. You know, now, you know, you're getting the experience of a vet, you know, you know, as a youngin'.
And this is the Last Second Shot podcast. Like I said, we're gonna have the organizers of Motor City Roundball Classic on soon. Fairly soon. We're trying to get them on right now, so just bear with us for a moment. We're gonna continue talking about the Best of Michigan over the weekend because we also had a game with Arbor Prep versus Heartland.
Yes.
Arbor Prep got a much needed win. I shouldn't say much needed. You know, that might be a little hyperbole. But what I can say is Arbor Prep won a game that you know, gets their season back on track. You know, losing to Ann Arbor Huron last weekend, they came down to Detroit to play Heartland, and then they did really well.
They did it really well and played excellent defense. I mean, they showed you a different look. They didn't trap as much. You know, they didn't. You know, they didn't give that 40 minutes of hell. You know, on the defense. And then they really went to. They really played a solid man-to-man defense, and they created a lot of turnovers for them and created a lot of easy buckets. You know, Nostalgia Chambers, one of our Miss Basketball candidates, ended up with 17 points, led all scorers, and, you know, young Rosemary Wells, you know, playing, you know, that defense that she plays, ended up with 7 steals. You know, and they just look real together, you know, for lack of a better term, but that, you know, they was just in sync with each other on Saturday against Harlan, man. It really was a good win for them.
Definitely. Now, you know, that's the thing though. This particular basketball season is off to a way more interesting start than we had last year. Last year, things kind of went according to plan. There wasn't a lot of, you know, teams that were just surprising outside of the Waterford Kettering last year, but this year you just don't know. This year you just don't know who's gonna come in and jump off of the charts to you.
No, not at all. You know, like you said, is anybody's season right now? You know, nobody's really separated themselves. Or I mean, like we said, we think basically John Glenn is probably the best team in the state right now. They're playing the best right now. But, you know, we're only about, you know, 3, 4, 5 games in. So, you know, we still have 15 more games left, you know, for everybody to, you know, hit their stride or, you know, separate themselves, quote unquote. But, you know, so far it's been a real interesting season. A real interesting season. See a couple surprises. You know, games that you thought weren't going to be close were close. Games that you thought were going to be close ended up being, having a wide margin. It's fun basketball, people. It's fun basketball.
Definitely. Now, as we continue to try to get the organizers of the Motor City Roundball Classic on the line, we're going to go ahead and start previewing the 21st annual Motor City Roundball Classic. Eric, do you realize the Motor City Roundball has been going on since before you were born.
You're making me look real old right now, or you're making me look real young.
And that's for our listeners to decide. it started the year I was born. So, I mean, you know, essentially, hey, I'm in the same boat with you. So on Saturday, we're going to go through the schedule here. And you all can decide what teams you like, and we'll talk about the teams and matchups that we're going to be excited about seeing, especially. Obviously, I'm just excited to get to this event, one of the longest and most well put together events, really, you know, that you can come across in any sport, girls or boys basketball. So that is always great. So on Saturday, there will be it starts at 9:20 on Saturday, December 26th. Which that's 10 days away. So there's going to be River Rouge. Yes, sir. I'm only saying yes, sir, because I live in River Rouge right now. Detroit Cornerstone. Then at 11, we have Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes versus Blissfield. Following that at 12:40 in the afternoon, we have Warren Michigan Collegiate versus Bay City All Saints. Also, at 2:20, Kalamazoo Lloyd Norris versus Toledo Wake. At 4, we have Flint Beecher versus Dearborn Henry Ford Academy. At 5:40, we have the Southfield Lakers Senior High School. The Southfield Lakers Senior High School versus Waterford Kettering. And then we have Coach Peggy Evans bringing in the Oak Park Knights over on to Depsa versus Waterford Mott. And then to end that day, we have Birmingham Marion and Grosse Pointe South dueling it out.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a good lineup of games. On Sunday, you have at 11 a.m., Blissfield versus Liggett. At 12:40, Toledo Wake versus Depsa. At 2:20, you got Brandywine versus Southfield. At 4 o'clock, you have Frankfort versus Saginaw Arthur Hill. At 5:40, North Farmington against Lansing Everett. At 7:20, you got DeWitt versus the up-and-coming Wayne Memorial. And at 9 o'clock, you have Detroit Public Safety versus Harper Woods.
Hey, all right, so I mean, now what jumps out at me from the first 2 days off rip is Southfield Lathrop versus Waterford Kettering. Listen, I came out and said it. I said it confidently. I'm standing by it. I think Southfield Lathrop is the team to win Class A. Right now, they're 1-2. 1-2, right?
1-0.
1-2. Listen, I'm expecting a turnaround starting this Saturday. But if they want to go far, Waterford Kettering is just one of those games they have to win. It's one of those games that they have to dig deep in and they have to pull out, because Waterford Kettering's not going to be a team to just lay down. So you have two teams who like to get out in transition, push the pace. And that's going to be an exciting game.
It will be an exciting game, and you're right. This is not going to be an easy out for either team, you know. So both teams have to come to play, and you know, those are the type of matchups you want in an event like this or a tournament like this. You know, those are the matchups people come and pay to see.
Definitely. I mean, now, and on day two, obviously, I'm looking at DeWitt versus Wayne Memorial. I'm looking at DeWitt versus Wayne Memorial on day two on the 27th. That should be exciting. I mean, DeWitt, a lot of people, you know, don't mention them But listen, they went to the Breslin last year. They were in the state finals. They were in the state finals, and they lost to a very good Marion team, respectably. So, you know, they're just a year off of that. And listen, Wayne Memorial, like I said, we talked about him a few times on the show. I had an interview with Camry Clegg that we aired on the show. They're an up-and-coming team. One senior in their starting lineup. You know, they're going to look to prove or to show people that they belong. They belong in this top team's talk. You know, they're undefeated right now. They're 3-0 right now. But, I mean, let's just face it. You know, this is going to be one of their first tests. I mean, they play Northville tomorrow. But, you know, this DeWitt team is going to be their first test on this type of scale. And that's just going to be something interesting to see.
Yeah, it would be something interesting to see. And I put them in my top five teams and at right at number five. And, you know, so far they haven't let me down. They're 3-0 right now. And, you know, Camry Clegg, well, I will say again, well, I feel like this is the second best point guard in the state. He's off to a nice start. Went to see them last night against LaVonia Stevenson. You know, they end up getting a 17-point win, 45-28. Clegg, you know, was our usual self, 16 points, about 4 assists, 3 steals. And Amara Chikwe delivered, you know, she had 14 points, about 9 rebounds. You know, this is a team that's young, you know, has something to prove, wants to prove it, and, you know, they're athletic and they want to play quick, you know, and that's kind of hard to go against. That's kind of hard to go against.
Definitely. Now, moving along with the schedule, on that Monday, the 28th, we have Saginaw versus Woodhaven. We have Cleo versus St. Ignace LaSalle. We have Saginaw Arthur Hill versus Utica Ford. We have Detroit Martin Luther King, I should say, versus East Chicago from Indiana Central. They make that trip just about every year. And then we have Flint Powers versus Bay City John Glenn. We have Okemos versus Harper Woods Chandler Park Academy. We have Saginaw Novell versus St. John. And then we have DEPSA, the host school of this event, versus Pontiac. And then on that Tuesday, we have East Chicago again versus the Detroit Cass Technical High School. At 11, Port Huron Northern is coming back down to play Saginaw Novell. 12:40, we have Jordan Walker and Ms. Winston coming down to face Williamston. And then we have Saginaw Heritage. That's going to be a great game versus Beverly Hills Detroit Country Day. Also, Ludington versus Midland. Manistee versus Arbor Prep. Cleveland Solon out of Ohio versus King, and Woodhaven versus Oak Park.
That's some good games on that day, man.
Listen.
That's some good games on that day, man.
Man, listen. I always like seeing East Chicago play, East Chicago as Central play, because, listen, they will give you a good show. They're well coached, you know, always have a few athletes. I mean, whenever they come to Detroit, they come to play. I think last year they played like four or five games in the time that they were here. Like they came out to play. So that I'm interested in seeing them versus King on that Monday. Now, as far as Tuesday goes, Saginaw Heritage versus the Detroit Country Day High School. That's going to be something else, man.
Yeah, that's going to be something else. And to have you back, Solon plays King on that same day, just later. Just later. It's Tuesday, not Monday. So you'll see those two games on the same day, Heritage and Country Day at 2:20. And at 7:20, Solon versus King. Man, it's going to be some beast of the games, man.
Definitely. And that's going to be, yes, Solon versus King is going to be, that. Listen, I've paid kind of close attention to the Solon team just because we do have a former Michigan player who was a freshman here last year at Northfield High School, and now she plays with Solon. And I've had the chance to see some of their players play over the summer, and Valencia Myers and Alexis Stover, along with our former Michigan player, now in Solon, Mariah Modkins. Listen, Solon is a loaded squad. I remember telling Eric off air, you know, a few months back before we even started the show, I was like, hey, if somebody can get Solon up here for a tournament this year, that's going to be a show. I mean, Valencia Myers, she played on the Olympic squad. She's coming off of a great freshman campaign. She's in her sophomore season. She's an excellent player. And she's going to be going against, I mean, when she plays Country Day on that Wednesday, it is?
Wednesday.
Okay, we haven't even gotten to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Country Day, King and Solon, that's going to be a good matchup. Good guards. You get to see Norman go against Mocken. Alexis Stover, she's going to match up with either Tia Tedford or Michaela Kelly. You know, however, Coach Winfield decides to attack that. But that's going to be a great matchup.
It is going to be a great matchup. And, you know, like I said, the game, you know, a few games before that, you have Heritage and Country Day. You know, Jalen Richardson, you know, Tyler Bennett, you know, Destiny Pierce, Jesse Bignall. I mean, you know, good matchups all around, man. You know, that game, two fairly young teams want to get after it. You know, the shooting of Country Day versus the speed and athleticism of the Heritage. I'm telling you, people, that $10 that you're gonna pay is worth it. It's worth it.
Grab your popcorn.
Ha ha ha.
Grab your popcorn because a lot of people aren't talking about Saginaw Heritage, you know, in this part of the state. And, I mean, that's understandable because we don't get to see them a lot. Just know when they come, they're going to be serious.
Yeah.
They're going to come down and they're gonna play hard. And with any of the top teams from this region, Sag Nasty, Sag Nasty, as it's called. they're not gonna come down and pity pat with anybody. But that's why I'm glad they're gonna play a very good, who some people have called the best team in the state, Country A.
That's gonna be a
great matchup.
It is. And on to, you know, end things off for the round ball on that Wednesday, December 30th. At 9:20, you have Farmington Hills, Harrison, and Ludington. At 11, Williamston and Flint, Carmen, and Ainsworth. At 12:40, Renaissance and Manistee. At 2:20, Muskegon, Mona Shores versus Midland Dow. That should be a great one. Followed by another great game at 4 o'clock, Detroit Country Day versus Solon. At 5:40, Bay City John Glenn versus Kalamazoo Central. At 7:20, Afrocentric from Ohio versus Ann Arbor Huron. And to end things off, Madison Heights versus Liggett. Hey, it's a couple key games in here, man.
Definitely. Wednesday might actually be my favorite of this whole thing. I mean, you have teams matching up who will never – like, I mean, I'm pretty sure if we went through the archives, you look at Farmington Hills, Harrison versus Ludington, I'm pretty sure that this is the first time they've ever met in anything, in any type of sport. So, I mean, that's an unlikely matchup. And then you get Detroit Renaissance versus Manistee. And again, like I said, I've never seen them in any sport. I cover football, too, and wrestling. I've never seen them down here, so that's going to be great. But when we get to this Muskegon-Mona Shores versus Midland-Dow, that's going to be a great game. I mean, listen, Jordan Walker, we're going to have more about that about her in a few moments. But Jordan Walker, listen, she's just coming off of an ACL surgery. She's not playing like it at all. We saw her this weekend. She's on a mission. Their freshman, Eliza Winston, I hope I just said her name right. Listen, she's a no-nonsense type of a basketball player. She puts the ball on the floor and she drives with a purpose. Them versus Midland Dow.
Yeah. Mhm.
It's gonna be a good matchup because, I mean, even then, you know, Muskegon-Mona Shores is still gonna have to deal with the post presence of Kaylee Wasco. They're still gonna have to deal with shooting. You know, like I said, Jordan Walker, you know, she set her feet this weekend while she was playing Robichaud, and she just let it fly when she felt like it, and it was dropping. In that same sense, Muskegon-Mona Shores is dealing with a team that can shoot right back with them, or they can get in the lane just like they can. That's going to be interesting.
They're definitely going to be interesting. And, you know, to your point about Winston, that kid, you know, I might have to start calling her the Tasmanian Devil, man, because she just, you know, it just gets everywhere in a blur and, you know, doesn't care who's standing in her way. It's either, you know, you're going to take a charge or you're going to get out her way. She is not going to
move
with a bunch
moved.
Of crossovers, basically. And, you know, it's not going to hit. She's not going to hit you with a bunch of moves. She plays in a straight line, a direct line to the basket. And like Darren said, move or be moved. That kid is something else to be that young.
Listen, this back to back game, you all need to be there from two until. If you can't be there, you know, for a lot of these games, and you just say, hey, I just want to catch at least two of these games, you need to be there back-to-back from Muskegon-Mona Shores and Midland Dow and Country Day versus Solon. Let me tell you, Country Day, you know, they just beat one of the what people in Ohio are calling one of the best teams in Ohio in Toledo Rogers. Now they go against another team who's at the top of the list in Ohio, in Solon. And honestly, I think Solon might be a little bit more loaded, you know, as far as what they have from what I've seen. I can't, you know, obviously I'm not going to go against what, you know, the Ohio reporters are saying here. But from what I've seen, Solon might have just a little bit more. And when I say this, Solon is going to have a matchup for Tyler Bennett when it comes on December 30th. That's going to be an intro. You don't see a lot of players who can really match up with Tyler Bennett when you just look at it from the outside. Valencia Myers, she can. You know, we don't get to see these good post battles anymore. You know, obviously, you know, in Michigan, it's a lot of guard-driven teams. Listen, this might be won down low. This game might be won down low. I mean, when it comes to the rebounding, we don't know if there will be an advantage. When it comes to who gets the points down low, you know, will Country Day throw it down there to Tyler Bennett and let her get some points going? Or, I mean, you know, or you know, how will they attack it like that? Will Valencia Myers be able to handle Tyler Bennett, you know, putting the ball on the floor and giving her some post moves? And I mean, if you've seen Valencia Myers play, you know she's gonna get her buckets down low. But you know, how will she play against her teammate, her AAU teammate over last summer? How will she play against Tyler Bennett? Because Tyler Bennett, like I've said before, is one of the best help defenders we have in Michigan. She's actually one of the best defenders on the defensive side that we have in Michigan. That post battle is going to be something else.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And like you said, we don't get to see many, you know, post matchups, you know, because, you know, we have a lot of great guards, and you know, it'd be a different look for you know, this state to see, you know, two good posts really, really going at each other and, you know, trying to, you know, get the best of one another. And it's going to be an all out good matchup from all positions. But the post battle is really something to look for. It's really something you really won't want to see.
Because I'll tell you what, I've seen Mariah Mockins play. I covered her first game last year. And I mean, if you follow recruiting, you know she's been getting recruited since, you know, before she even stepped foot in Michigan when she was back in New York. I mean, before high school. So, you know, obviously that guard matchup isn't going to be any slouch. You know, that's not going to be a boring game, because Mariah Mockins, her defense is stellar. Her defense, Mariah Mockins versus Kayla Webb, that's a good matchup. We didn't get to see it last year. We didn't get to see that last year. So that's going to be interesting, knowing that Mariah Mockins, you know, she has family up here as well. So, you know, who knows? Who knows how many people she can bring out? Her dad being the coach, a coach on the Lions coaching staff, you know, this could be – I don't know if it can turn into a home game for someone, but they can get some momentum on their side, you know. You know, just with how comfortable Mariah Mockins might feel at home, you know, because she once did call this home.
Oh yeah, man. And you know, it's you know, to sum up the whole Round Ball Classic, it's just 5 days of good hoops. You know, 5 days of good hoops, 5 days of good matchups, and I hope to see everyone there. You know, you get to see, you know, players do their thing, and you know, obviously, me and Dan will be broadcasting live from it, so we will definitely be there. Dan, we might get up a couple shots ourselves if the people know what we're talking about.
Hey, nah, you know, I get some last second shots up.
You know, we might put up from 25 a couple times, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've been known to pull from 30. Man, let me stop messing with you. But yeah, I mean, no, that's the whole schedule there. I mean, so, you know, out of all those games, picking one that we didn't go in depth to, just tell me what game you're looking forward to most outside of the games we already went over.
That's a good one. That's a good question. Great question. I would say the 7:20 game on Wednesday, Afrocentric versus Huron. Obviously, we all know what Huron looks like, but we don't, you know, I maybe Darren, you know, but I don't really know what, you know, Afrocentric from Ohio looks like, so I'd be curious to see what they bring up here to the back, one of the better teams that we have in our state in Huron. So I'm really looking forward to that one. I really look forward to see that.
Definitely. Now, I'm gonna go with a game that we'll actually be broadcasting live during. That North Farmington versus Lansing Everett. Listen, I mean, North Farmington lost Megan Carter last year. Obviously, they still have Kiara Crockett. They're still a respectable team. Lansing Everett is coming down from the Mid Michigan area, and hey, they're gonna put their name in the hat and put some teams from this area on notice as well. So it's gonna be interesting, because I haven't seen Lansing Everett, but I do know that their athletic department and their program is ran with respect and dedication. So they don't have, you know, too many bad teams or bad seasons. You know, so I think that's going to be an interesting matchup.
Oh, good one, good one. Unless they ever hold home of Magic Johnson. A lot of people don't remember that. Our younger listeners, man, y'all need to, you know, read upon that, man.
Definitely. Now, we talked a little about Muskegon on the Shores while we were talking about these matchups. And, this was actually how we had planned it to go. I want to talk a little about Muskegon on the Shores, Jordan Walker and Eliza Winston. That's a good team. That is just a very good team. I mean, they play well on defense. This is my first time ever seeing this team Muskegon on the Shores. I've seen Jordan Walker play before, and it's my first time seeing the freshman Winston play. Listen, they did such a good job against Dearborn Robichaud. Like, they did a really, really good job defensively, but on the offensive end, when it wasn't in transition, they still came out and got those buckets. Now, so many times you see these teams, everything is transition. You know, they don't know how to get in a half-court set and find some offense. On Saturday, they did just that. I mean, you know, a lot of their first early points came out in transition, but when Robichaud was scoring and they had to take the ball out and it wasn't outlet, they came out in the half-court set. And Jordan Walker, she was either getting to the rim, you know, nice finishing ability, or she was letting it fly. And it was really like that for the team all around. Like, they all showed a confidence to either shoot the ball or try to get to the rim. That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good when you think about it.
It is pretty good, and, Jordan Walker, you know, like Darren, you know, I've seen her, you know, in AAU only once. So I really didn't know a lot about her. But Saturday, sure enough, told me a lot. To come out, you know, somebody who's, you know, I don't think she's 6 months off surgery yet. From the ACL, and, you know, came out at 26 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and about 4 steals. It's a heck of a stat line. It's a heck of a stat line to come out and give that type of performance. And it wasn't a reckless 26. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a bad 26. It wasn't a volume 26. You know, she didn't take 26 shots, you know, like Kobe Bryant with the Lakers. sorry, Darren.
Hey,
but,
yeah.
But you know, she was very efficient and made smart basketball plays and displayed her, you know, her athleticism a little bit, you know, even with the knee brace on, you know, so it looked like she stretched, unlike, you know, D'Angelo Russell, she actually stretched this game.
Hey, be respectful. Yeah, man, the respect this guy has. Like, it's terrible. But, yeah, they're a team to watch out for. And this is the interesting part about it. Obviously, me and you, we live in the southeastern region of Michigan. There's a lot of basketball that we don't get to see that happens, you know. You know, that's not anybody's fault. That's just, we're not going to be able to travel everywhere. It's not like the games are on TV, whatever. These teams are coming from the western side of the state, and they are not playing. They aren't playing. Like I was just reading earlier today, Kaiser Gendrezic had another 40-point game. These teams on the west, you know, we always say, like, oh my God, who are they? We don't know them. Well, I don't, but, you know, we've heard that. These teams are coming down to the southeastern side of the state, and they're smacking teams up. Like those teams owing money.
Yeah, they are. And you say it's like they owe them money. They're just hit us with a 1985 line, y'all, for real.
That's what it's like. It's like, hey, yo, where's my money? Oh, you don't got it? Wop. That's exactly what's happening.
Very, very descriptive, good metaphor, analogy, whatever the word is. You know, I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to show my diction on this show right now, but, yeah, you're absolutely right, though. They're coming down and, you know, they're showing that, hey, we got some teams, we got some players on this other side of the state, you know, that can hang with, you know, that can hang with, you know, the people on this side. So, you know, and it's good for the state. It's good for the state. All the talent, you know, can't be from just one side or just one area or one region. You know, the best players come from everywhere. They come from all sides.
Yeah, and Muskegon Mona Shores is just a prime example that you can be good, you know, and not be in this side of the state. I mean, obviously, I think this region probably has some of the best athletes in the state, but hey, we can't take the people from the western side of the state or even the northern side or northern part or peninsula of this state lightly, because like I said, you know, every year we look at Class D, and their name is escaping me right now. Oh my God. St. Ignace?
So, from there. Which class?
Class D.
Class B or D?
D. D as in dog.
Okay, Class D. Yeah, St. Ignace is, yeah. I think that's what
you're thinking. It seems like every year St. Ignace is coming down here and they're winning a Class D title. They're winning a Class D title. I mean, and they play in the northern part of the state. We don't see them. I don't see them all year. I don't see them all year. But guess who I picked to win a Class D this year? St. Ignace. I mean I've bet against them before, and over the last few years they said, hey, we're pretty much better than any Class D team you have down here. So, you know, you can't get too caught up in the classes and where they play. That's just a mistake.
Yeah, you can't get caught up in that. You just gotta you just gotta just watch it for what it is, and you know, hey, if you you like them, you like them. Yeah, if you favor, you know, the other team, then you favor the other team, but don't, you know, pick one team as a representation for either side. Just enjoy this beautiful game of basketball in this great state of ours, you know?
Yes, sir. Now, we almost got into something earlier in the show, and I want to introduce it in the proper way. I want to introduce it in the proper way. So, John Glenn, Westland John Glenn, their girls basketball account tweeted out that the district pairings have been released. Now, I went to the MHSAA website to try to see these pairings. I wasn't able to. It's not on the website yet. I haven't received a press release about it. Eric talked, you know, with a few different coaches about whether they knew anything about it. They did not. So, you know, take that how you want it. But, you know, John Glenn put a story on their website that said they will be playing Wayne Memorial in the first round of districts, which that's a rivalry game. So that should be exciting. That's on February 29th. They said it. I'm going to retweet it onto my page. if you're listening, I'm going to favorite it too. So you can look at my favorites if you're listening later to go ahead and look at their story. So they said they'll be playing John Glenn at John Glenn, it looks like. So that brought up a topic between me and Eric. Now, this needs to stop. This actually, like, the way that they're picking playoff matchups needs to stop. I think right now they pull it out of a hat. Am I right?
Yeah.
They pull names out of a hat, and that's how the playoff matchups are determined. That needs to stop. If there can be a selection Sunday for football in this great state of ours with the MHSAA, then there can be a selection Sunday for a playoff release show for basketball as well. Because when you think about it, why does the regular season even matter anymore? Like, what reward are you giving our kids for playing through the regular season?
I mean, it's none right now, you know, and, you know, you love the not only rewarding the teams, but on top of that, the mystery of who you're going to be matched up with and how you're seated and, you know, it's no mystery anymore. It hasn't been, actually hasn't been at all, but, you know, I think, you know, having some mystery to it, you know, adds a little flavor.
And me and you, we've had these conversations with a few different people of how some games get turned down because, no, we're going to have to see them in district. We've heard those conversations. That would cut down a lot of that. That would cut down a lot of that. I mean, because, listen, people are in the preseason. We talked to people in the preseason who's like, yeah, we're going to end up seeing them in the district finals, or we're going to see them in the first round of the district. Like, hey, are you even at all focused on the regular season? Like, but why would you be? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're not playing for a first round bye.
Yeah.
Last year, Wayne Memorial went winless, and they had a first round bye in the district. Now, and obviously, I'm not throwing a shot at them, but obviously, that's flawed. That is a flawed system that we have there. Is a team can go without winning, and they're rewarded a first round bye. Any team, I don't care what team it is, that's a flaw in the system.
Yeah, it is a flaw in the system, and, you know, it takes away from certain good matches that we will probably see in the regular season as well. Like you said, teams are backing out of games and things like that. Well, you know, we had the mystery of who we're going to play and not knowing who we'll see who in districts or the possibility of seeing this team in regionals. We probably would have a lot more good matches. I understand there's only so many games to go around, but, you know, some of the matches that we want to see probably won't happen because of this system. And I think that's unfair to the fans, really. It does the fans a disservice, people that pay their money to see these teams play.
So to read directly from Westland John Glenn's website, the John Glenn Athletic Department announced the pairings for the 2016 MHSAA Boys and Girls District Basketball Tournament. The girl tournament will be hosted by the Rockets, while the boys will be played at Belleville High School. We already knew that. The Rockets drew Wayne Memorial in the first round of the girls tournament and will play 5 o'clock p.m. on Monday, February 29th, the winner of the game will advance to the semifinals against Belleville, who drew a bye. Like,
yeah.
So the MHSA has not released the brackets as of yet. Obviously, they are done. Athletic departments have already been informed of their matchups and timings and dates. But we're looking at a system that has no reward for athletes performing well during the regular season. I could literally rest my players all through the season. I don't recommend this. I don't actually even foresee it happening. But you could actually rest your players for half of a season, lose all of those games, rest your best players. Don't show anybody what you have or what your game plan will be for a championship run. Get to the playoffs, break out a whole new team. A whole new team. People are like, who are they? I just thought they were bench warmers. Like, you know, I don't see that strategy coming about, but it could happen. I mean, there's interesting people in this world who you know, they try things. That's the most friendly way that I can put it. You know, there's those type of interesting people in the world that will try anything.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I mean, outside of, you know, teams not being rewarded and all of that jazz that I just went through, we see some matchups in districts and regionals that we're just supposed to wait until the breadwinner to see.
It doesn't make sense, some of these matches that we see that early. Like,
last year,
Last
year we saw Marion versus Southfield Lathrop in the quarterfinals before the Breslin, and that was a championship matchup. I don't care what anybody says, you know, Lathrop came out in the loss. I don't think the Breslin will change that. But if you're telling me last year, Southfield, Lathrop, and Marion, they're the two best teams in the state. They're the two best teams in the state. And if they're seeding, because already it's not even like the MHSAA pays so much attention to geographics. Because right now, the winner of the district that's going to be at John Glenn is going to go play Ann Arbor Huron in the regionals. Okay? That's about a, 30 to 40-minute drive, almost an hour, depending on what time of the day you're going. It's not like we're, you know, the MHSAA is concerned that much about regionals. They've exhibited that you know, when it comes to geographics, they really don't put that much thought into it. Because last year, Southfield High plays a district at Renaissance. You know, I don't know how much sense that makes when, you know, Southfield Lathrop, a team that's 2 miles away from them, is playing their district at Royal Oak.
Yeah, Royal Oak.
So, it, you know, let's just start seeding these teams. It rewards the athlete for working hard during a regular season. And it gives the MHSA way better matchups, way better TV. I don't think anybody wants to turn to Fox Sports, you know, on championship day to watch teams that, you know, a team that probably shouldn't be there get steamrolled.
Yeah. And some of the stuff that we've seen in past years, not even being the last year, even a couple of years ago, you know, we've seen, you know, a regional. We have 3 out of the top 4 teams in the state all in one region. Like, in order, they were ranked 1, 2, and 3, and they were all in the same region. That makes absolutely no sense. And it's got to stop. Like, it's got to stop. I feel strongly about this. Obviously, Darren feels strongly about this as well. and excuse my voice right now, I have a cold, but it makes no sense. Some of this stuff just makes absolutely no freaking sense, you know, and that's as much as I'm going to say about that.
But, you know, we've wound down to the last minute of, you know, the last few moments of our show. So we're going to get into our last second shots, basically our closing thoughts. Eric, what you got for us, man?
Hey, right now, the NHSA ain't making no sense. And, don't be afraid to, you know, be active with us, tweet us, and all that sort of thing. And when you see us out, you know, don't be afraid to talk to us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, same with me, man. I'm not going to say too much more because the MHSAA might try to snatch my media pass, and I ain't trying to pay that 10. So, I'm going to fall back with my thoughts on that. But I just want to say, man, we got another exciting few weeks of girls basketball coming up, man. Like, every week to start this season, we've had some exciting matchups. So this week at Renaissance, you know, I'm going to come through. We got Ann Arbor Huron versus the Southfield Lathrop Senior High School, the Chargers. We got that's just a loaded day. I believe Harrison is taking on Renaissance.
Team. Yes.
Yeah, Harrison is taking on Renaissance. We have Country Day versus Mumford. I mean, that's just gonna be a good day of games. If you can meet us there at Renaissance on Saturday, it's gonna be just another week of a good setting. I'm gonna come out for a few of those games. You know, so I make a little appearance. I'm not Hollywood yet, y'all. I'm not Hollywood yet. But yeah, thanks to everybody who listens to this podcast, man.
And especially, if you're a pretty female over the age of 21, don't be afraid to talk to us. Like,
hey, man.
We would appreciate your company a lot.
Hey, no. Chill.
Hey.
We got mamas.
Hey. Huh?
I said, we got mamas listening, bro.
Hey, look, they know how old we are. They know how we get down. No, I'm just playing.
I'm not playing, but
I'm serious.
I'm playing to let you serious, though. Oh, man. But Eric is on the cough medicine. Y'all got to excuse him. Man, but shout out to everybody who listens to this. Subscribe to us on iTunes. And we're going to be back, not next week, but starting that, starting with the first day of the round ball, we will be broadcasting live. So we skipping next week, but we're going to be coming to you Saturday, December 26th, every day for 5 days straight. And we giving you 2 hours every day. So, yeah, we going to see y'all on the 26th, man. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Y'all can just give me cash. And we'll talk to y'all later.
NHSA might take your pass, dog.
Man, I'm not worried.